Let's take our Bibles this morning and let us read together as a congregation Psalms 1. And then upon reading Psalms 1, I would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. But in order for us to memorize the psalm, this is one way of being able to memorize it, is simply by reading it out loud. Psalms 1, as a congregation, let us read in its entirety the 6 verses. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 for our reading here this morning, for our text. Matthew chapter 5, and allow me to read the first 12 verses. And those of you that are familiar with the scriptures, you know exactly where we are going. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And seeing the multitude, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he had set his disciples, and seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he, Jesus, opened his mouth and taught them, the apostles, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, notice, is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, present reality. Blessed are ye, present reality, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, notice, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Beloved, we are continuing in Psalms 1. We're looking at this idea of what it means to be blessed, what it means to be happy, what it means to be biblically contented. And last week, we focused our attention on Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man. And we brought forth that the word blessed there in the Hebrew denotes happiness, contentment. And it's also in the plural, happinesses, or blessednesses. And it also says, happy or blessed is the man. And I brought out the fact that is denotes the fact that as a child of God, a true child of God, if you're here this morning and you're resting and trusting in the finished work of Christ, if you're in that state here this morning, you are the happy, blessed man of Psalms 1. And all that I want to do through this series is to show you what you and I ought to be and what you and I ought to be experiencing as this blessed man of Psalms 1:1. So far we have seen the state of this blessedness as a present reality in life for every true believer. And I purposely chose Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5 and look at verse 3. Did you pick up on something? Blessed are, present tense, blessed are the poor in spirit. Beloved, this poverty of spirit that Jesus is talking about has nothing to do with your purse, your pocketbook, your wallet, your savings account, your IRAs, or your stock portfolio. We are talking about the poverty of soul. Blessed is the man, Jesus says, who has been awakened to the spiritual poverty of his spiritual condition before God. Have you ever experienced that poverty of soul? Have you tasted the fact that before God, we are all spiritually bankrupt? And yet the Bible says, blessed is the one who has a sense of their spiritual poverty before God. And then it says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, you may want to circle or underline, it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, these so-called Beatitudes, Jesus never intended for these Beatitudes to be taken out of the Bible, placed on a plaque, shellacked, varnished, sprayed, and then nailed to a wall as something for you and I to dust once a week. Beloved, these Beatitudes are nothing more but a description of a believer. Psalms 1 is an Old Testament description of what a believer is. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount by first and foremost identifying, lest there be any confusion, what it is and what it means to be a true son of the living God. If you're here this morning and you call yourself a believer, praise God, then these verses, verses 3 to verse 12, ought to be a description of you daily in some form, some way, and some measure. Matter of fact, I heard a preacher one time back east preaching through the Beatitudes, and he says that in the Greek, it actually sounds like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs and theirs only is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall and they only shall be comforted. That is apparently how it reads in the Greek. This double emphasis. A true child of God is one who is always poor in spirit. A child of God is someone who is always sensitive that in and of himself he is nothing before God. And his dependency and his sufficiency is to be from God and God alone. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over what? Is this talking about crying over spilt milk? No, my dear friend. Once you begin to taste and feel that before God that you are a spiritual beggar and that you are bankrupt before the holy bar of God, then you begin to mourn. You begin to languish and you begin to cry over the spiritual poverty. Does that describe you this morning? Does that describe me? And it says that if you do mourn, you shall be comforted. It's a future promise. It's a future promise guarantee. Notice this: blessed are the meek. The meek, the one who was able to take his passions and to bring them under control, as you would take a wild horse and break it into submission. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Beloved, verse 6 is again a description of what a true child of God is. It is a person who is continually hungering and continually desirous of God's word. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? It says, you shall be filled. And beloved, are you noticing this kind of like, it just keeps on building? You go from poverty of spirit to mourning over your soul. Then you learn to be brought into subjection. You learn to be meek. And then this meekness is then translated into a person who is now merciful. In our old sinner days, we wanted to get even. Now, since we have been brought under the yoke of Christ, we learn to be a merciful person. And in turn, we shall obtain mercy. Look at verse 8. As you continually mourn, as you continually hunger, as you continually feed on the Scripture, as you are continually brought into humiliation before God, then you are one who's pure in heart. Pure in heart. So much for the carnal Christian teaching. Pure in heart. Only those who are pure in heart have the promise of what? They, and they only, shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know that we heard a pastor in West Germany take this term peacemaker and lift it out of its text to apply it to soldiers who are in a UN peacekeeping endeavor? That is outrank blasphemy. Has nothing to do to the military. Has nothing to do with people in camouflage suits carrying M16s, boarding a plane to go to a third world to bring peace and food. A peacemaker is one who brings the gospel to a lost person and attempts to introduce them to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did we learn in the last hour under Colossians 1? And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Christian, are you a peacemaker? Are you introducing others to Christ? Sinner, have you been desirous to come to Christ? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want that new life direction? Do you want that reconciliation that is spoken of? Do you want to hear in your heart, justified, acquitted, no longer condemned? Do you want to know that your sins have been forgiven? And do you want to rest upon a sure foundation of God's word, as in Romans 8? That all that comes into your life, though it may be painful, is for your good. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. What does verse 12 say? The same theme of Philippians. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. My dear friends, Matthew 5, verses 3 to 12, is a description of everyone who is a member of God's family. Just like Psalms 1 is a picture of everyone who's in God's family. Listen to this quote by A.W. Pink about these Beatitudes. Listen to this. It is therefore vitally important that we understand that the character of the subjects in that kingdom are, so that we may know whether we belong to the kingdom ourselves, and whether its privileges, immunities, and future rewards are a part of our present and future inheritance. Thus one may grasp the importance of a devout and careful study of these Beatitudes. We must examine them as a whole. We cannot take one along without losing a part of the lesson they jointly teach. These Beatitudes form one portrait. Then an artist draws a picture. Each line may be graceful and masterful, but it is the union of the lines that reveals their mutual relationship. It is the combination of the various artistic delineations and minute touches that give us the complete portrait. So here, though each separate aspect has its own particular beauty and grace and shows the hand of a master, it is only when we take all the lines in combination that we get the full portrait of a true subject and citizen in the kingdom of God. So my dear friend, if you're here this morning, verses 3 to 12, Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount up front by describing what it means to be one of his own. And Psalms 1 is the same thing, only found in the New Testament. Well, beloved, in Psalms 1, we have those words, blessed is the man. But the remaining hour, like I did in the last hour, and the remaining portion of my message, with your attention, and what little energy I may have this morning, I would like to paint a canvas portrait of the blessed man of Psalms 1, verse 1. Okay? The first description of a Psalms 1:1 believer, the first description is of a truly happy man. Now, go to Psalms 1. Hold your place there. Maybe put something, maybe you want to put a marker or something. Go to Psalms 1, and if you have something, maybe a piece of paper or maybe a bookmark, just place it there. And as you do that, turn to Psalms 128. Because if I want to make a quick reference back to Psalms 1, that will minimize the flipping and then using our time wisely. But turn to Psalms 128. The first portrait, or the first brushstroke here this morning, is that the Psalms 1:1 believer is a description of a truly happy man. Psalms 128. Notice these blessed words. I got to find my page here. 128. Look at verses 1 and 2. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Beloved, when I read that, or as you look at those words, do you kind of hear in the backdrop the symphony of music being played from Psalms 1:1. Hold your place here. Flip over back to Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Then look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Psalms 1:1 tells us which pathway not to walk in. Well, that forms the negative. Well, once you form a negative, my dear friend, you create the vacuum. Something has to fill that void. If I'm not to walk in this direction, then in which way am I supposed to walk? Walk in his ways, God's ways. And then you will learn the fear of the Lord. And by learning the fear of the Lord, you will then learn to become a happy, blessed, contented believer. Look at verse 2. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That concept of being well with thee, doesn't that somewhat match verse 3 of Psalms 1? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He will bring his fruit within time as he or she matures, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So Psalms 1 is a description of a believer, just like Matthew 5, 3 to 12 is Jesus' portrait of a believer. And in both cases, a truly, truly saved man and woman is a truly happy man. He's happy. Not in some giddy, silly, meaningless gibber, but he's happy. He knows his sins are under the blood of the cross. He knows that he has been reconciled. He knows he's been restored. He knows he's been forgiven. He knows he's been given a new life's direction. He knows he stands upon the confidence and the assurance of God's eternal word, and God cannot lie. And based on that, come hell or high water, come persecution, trial, he or she remains blessed. He or she is happy and content, and he's satisfied with his God. Does that describe you this morning? Or do we go around mumbling and complaining and groaning and whining? Or are we simply content and happy? Turn to Psalm 37, but hold your place there in Psalms 1. Go to Psalm 37. Notice this. Psalm 37. This idea of being, that's my second description. I'm not looking at my notes too well. The first description is that man is truly happy. Secondly, Psalms 1 describes a lawful man as composed to the lawless man. Turn to Psalm 37 now. That's my mistake. Look at Psalm 37. Notice this. I'm going to read verses 29 to verse 40, and I want you to see the beautiful description of a child of God. Psalm 37, look at verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land. Matthew says the meek shall inherit the earth and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That sounds just like Psalms 1-2. He delights in the law of God, and he meditates upon it day and night. So that meditating of the Word of God becomes part of his spiritual fiber. It becomes part of his spiritual being. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, in spreading himself like a green bay tree. Isn't it amazing that here in this text, God likens the lawless person to a great bay tree with its branches streaming out? Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. My dear friend, when you see a child of God who's sincere and honest with his or her walk, you're told to mark that man. You mark that perfect man, and you behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That sounds like Psalms 1:6. The ungodly are like the chaff, and in the end, God will destroy them. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they what? Trust in him. So, beloved, this person who's called blessed, the Psalms 1:1 believer, this blessed man, and the one that Jesus describes on the Sermon on the Mount in those blessed Beatitudes, this is the same individual. He's an individual who's truly happy. He's truly blessed. But he is an individual, male or female, young or old or in between. He is someone who is a lawful man versus a lawless man. And we see that beautiful portrait in this passage. As I read this passage, could you see God, through the hand of David, making the comparison between the godly man and the so-called wicked man? But I like that verse 37. You mock that perfect man, because his ways are the ways of peace. My dear friend, do we live in such a manner that other people are able to mark you and say, there goes a man, there goes a woman who knows peace. Thirdly this morning, not only is Psalms 1 describing a happy man or a lawful man, but Psalms 1 or a true believer is one who in the Bible is described as a successful man. He's successful. Not in his business directly, but he's successful with his relationship with his God. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Whenever I say successful, many people, hopefully not you and I, but many people will automatically think, well, job, finances, home, security, this man is successful. Well, beloved, I'm talking about spiritual success. And let me give you an example. Joshua chapter 1, especially in verse 8. We've seen the happy man, the lawful man, and now the successful man. Joshua 1. Look at verses 5 to 9. Joshua is about to take now the leadership of the nation following the death of Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, Joshua. I, the God of heaven and earth, I, the Creator, I, El Shaddai, the Almighty One, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And because of that reality, God tells Joshua, now you be strong, you be of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Sounds like that Psalms 1:1 guy again. Which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. You don't deviate, Joshua. You stay on that path that I placed you on. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. See that phrase, prosper whithersoever thou goest? Flip back to Psalms 1. Come on. And then look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm contending that Joshua was a Psalms 1:1 believer. I'm also going one step further in contending that Joshua was a Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to verse 12 believer as well. Read on. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Stop. Go back to Psalms 1, verse 2. The true believer, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I see a beautiful cross-reference here. I see a beautiful symmetry. I see a beautiful commentary just running through these verses. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What book did Joshua have? He had the first five books of your Old Testament given to him by Moses. And he was told to meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, what, church? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have good, church? Success. Have not I commanded thee, Joshua? Be strong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't get down in the dumps. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Beloved, that's a successful man. A person may have all the money, all the wealth, a good wife, all the kids are in line, Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, whatever, plus this, plus that, a network of friends, business cards flowing out of his wallet. But if that man or that woman doesn't mirror this description in the eyes of heaven, they're bankrupt. They're poor. They're nothing. True godly success comes to the man or the woman who puts his or her trust in God, because they have been brought under the fear and a proper reverential awe of who God is. God is not the man upstairs. God is not the old gray-headed man rocking time in some chair, smiling as he dotes over us as we make fools of ourselves on this planet. God is God. He is the creator, the lawgiver, sustainer, provider, and the judge. And all that he has and all that he does, my dear friend, he does with his almighty power based on his holy wisdom and his great mercy and grace and love. God is God, my dear friend. And it is this God that we have to do. It is this God that we have to have holy dealings, my dear friend. It is this God who holds your breath and your life in your hand. And when you're brought under a proper fear, and it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and when you learn the way of the Lord, and when God's word becomes a delight, not misery, delight, not a burden, but a delight, not some chore, but a delight, and you begin to read, and you meditate, and you study, and then God puts you on that pathway of spiritual success. What was Joshua's success? His success was to get in the land, conquer the enemies, and to parcel out the land for the 12 tribes. And God says, that's on your shoulders, my young man. Be not afraid. Be courageous. I'm with you. Don't get down in the dumps. Now you get in there, and you get the job done. So, beloved, this morning we've seen that the Psalms 1:1 believer and the Matthew 5 believer is someone who's truly happy, truly lawful, truly successful. And here's one, my dear friends, I believe that in the contemporary American church we are so far short. Fourthly, this describes a truly satisfied man. Turn to Isaiah 58. Watch this. Turn to Isaiah 58. Look at verse 11. Isaiah 58. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and he's able to satisfy thee even in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, go to Psalms 1. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here in Isaiah, he says, the Lord shall continually guide thee. That's that new life direction he places you on when he brings you to faith. And beloved, God is able even to satisfy thee in drought. Even when times are lean and mean. Like right now. People are losing jobs, losing homes, losing confidences, losing maybe their marriages because of the financial strap that some people are in. Currently going on in our nation because of the fumbling and the bumbling of our leaders. Now we pay the piper. But even in drought, God promises, I'm able to satisfy thee. Was he not able to bring quail to the nation of Israel when they wandered through the desert? And beloved, when God gave them meat, they grumbled. And when God gave them water from the rock, they grumbled. And when they were walking out there in the wilderness of sin, the nation of Israel, by and large, were able to look over their shoulders. They were not fit for the kingdom of God because they put their hands to the plow. But as they were plowing through that desert, thousands of them were looking back to Egypt. Oh, if we were only back in the land. We had melons and cucumbers and burgers and fries and this and that. Moses, why this weary, dry, dead, barren wilderness? Beloved, that was the road that God wanted them to be on. That was the road that God put them on. And maybe you're here this morning and God has placed you on a certain path that seems to be strewn with potholes, chuck holes, valleys, dips, and thorns. And it's so easy for any of us to complain and to grumble. But as the nation of Israel was trudging through that wilderness wandering, God did all that for their good in order for them to become more dependent upon them and less dependent upon their own resources, my friends. Turn to Proverbs 30. Watch this. I think some of you in this congregation already know this verse. Look at verse 30. And hopefully I won't get myself in too much of a mousetrap here. Proverbs 30. May I give to all of us here this morning verses 7 to 9? Watch. Two things have I required of thee. He's talking to God. Deny them not before I die. One. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Dear God above, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, with my tummy full and satisfied, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and be forced to steal and take the name of my God in vain. What was his prayer? Remove from me all liars, all cheaters, all deceivers. Remove them from me. This man was serious about his walk with God. What does Psalms 1:1 teach us? Blessed is the man that walketh not with such and such, doesn't stand with so and so, and doesn't sit with such and such. He separates himself from all forms of evil. This man prayed, remove all liars, cheats, and deceivers. And secondly, Lord, you just put on my table sufficient for the day. Lest I gorge myself and have a big full tummy and then deny you. Or the flip side is, you don't give me sufficient, and I find myself stealing, and then I take your name in vain. Beloved, in the model prayer, Jesus said what? When the disciples said, teach us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our weekly bread. Monthly bread? Yearly bread? Give us this day present. Our, not mine, our daily convenient bread. Beloved, there's many of us in this room who ain't satisfied. We're not satisfied. We're not. We grumble. We moan. And we complain. Just part of our fallen nature. We grumble, we moan, and we complain. And the blessings that God does give us, sometimes we're too blind to see them. Or when God does bless us, we'll send a quick thank you, but our hand still remains open like, I'm really not satisfied. Can you give me another one? My dear friends, we need to learn to be satisfied, content, and satisfied. And in Psalms 1, that's what you find. Happy, blessed, and the Hebrew word there also carries forth the idea of contentment. Beloved, are you satisfied with God? Or do you hold a little bit of a grudge because you don't think God has answered all of your prayers the way you prayed? Next, not only is Psalms 1 a portrait of a truly happy man and a truly lawful man and a truly successful man and a truly satisfied man, Psalms 1 is a description of a contented man. Turn to Psalms 23. Look at Psalms 23. And again, I don't think God gave Psalms 23 to take it out of a Bible, put it on a piece of wood, shellac it, varnish it, spray it, pump it, nail it, and hang it on a wall, and then someone has to come by once a week with the little dust rag and then blow off the webs. No. Look at Psalms 23. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. Present reality. Just like blessed is the man. Psalms 1:1. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs and theirs only is the kingdom of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. My God leads me beside still waters. My God restores my soul. My God leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, my God, my Savior, and my Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. Contentment. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a picture of a sheep. This is a picture of a true child of God who sits very calmly and contently in the pasture, knowing that the heavenly shepherd watches over that sheep with the eye of loving divine providence. Does that describe you this morning? Are you a content sheep? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. It doesn't say the Lord is my shepherd and I have the right to grumble, to complain, to whine, to moan. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants. I'm content. Why? Because I know that my heavenly shepherd knows all that I need. And he's the one. Did you notice the imagery? He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. He restoreth me. He. That loving, tender, divine providence as he watches over each and every one of his sheep. Beloved, are you one of God's sheep? And if you are one of God's sheep, then my dear child of God, look up. Stop looking down. Stop looking at yourself. Look up. There's a heavenly shepherd in heaven who knows all that you need. And he will minister to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will restore you. Look at Psalms 103. Look at Psalms 103. Just permit me just to show you these few verses. Look at these. These are like gems. These are like gold nuggets. And I want to give them to you. Psalms 103. Look at verse 5. Well, look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. He satisfies us with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Same book, turn to Psalms 107. 107, look at verse 9. 107, verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Go to Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73. Beloved, does this describe you and I? Look at Psalm 73. Look at verses 23 to 25. And does this truly describe us? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holded me up by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. That's the scriptures, Psalms 1-2. And afterwards you shall receive me to glory. Beloved, look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. I call that satisfaction. I call that contentment. Beloved, does that verse 25 describe you this morning? Who have I in heaven but thee? And upon this earth, even in conjunction with all my earthly relatives and friends and neighbors and co-workers, there is no one on this earth that is compared to thee. Does that describe us this morning? Are we that content and satisfied with our God? Look at Psalms 84. Psalms 84. If I can't convince you, fine. Then I'm going to give you the scriptures. And may they convince you. Look at Psalms 84. Look at verses 9 to the close. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That sounds a whole like Psalms 1-1. That blessed man doesn't walk, stand, or sit with the sinner, the ungodly, or the scoffer. Does that describe you in verse 10? When church is in session, are you prepared to be here, my friend, as a viable participant in the worship of the living God? The psalmist said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper. I'd rather be the one who opens the doors to the visitors than to dwell in the tents of wickedness and ungodliness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Notice, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So much for just being saved, and then you can live any way you want to. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, satisfied, and content is the man that trusts in thee. As I close, others have made further comment on the Greek word for the word blessed in the New Testament. Listen to this. Other Greek commentators have brought out that the Greek word markios, that we get the word blessed or happy, also carries forth the idea to be fortunate, privileged, prosperous, inward joy, and finally, inner assurance and confidence. So, brother, for now on, when you hear the word blessed and the word happy, I hope that your mental mind is challenged to go beyond just the word blessed and happy. It means a whole lot more now. And that's why I've spent two messages banging on this one word. This idea of being blessed, it means to be fortunate, privileged, prosperous, inward joy, and that inner assurance and confidence in our God. Confident in God like the little lamb of Psalms 23. Well, beloved, man in his fallen spiritual state is always restless. He's unsatisfied unless he's been deceived. He's unfulfilled and never truly happy or contented in the biblical sense. Do you know that in the Old Testament, God likens the Gentile nations to the raging, roaring seas? No contentment, no peace, no calm. He's always running and fleeing from one emotional high to another in his vain hopes of being completely happy or satisfied with and in this world system. Furthermore, every toy and trinket and modern innovated gadget which man has developed to make his life easier and more convenient in order to have more playtime has also led him down the wrong path to finding true joy and happiness. Question, are you willing to take a bold, fresh challenge from Scripture? Are you? I'm challenging me and you this morning. Do you want to possess a truly biblical remedy for a happy, blessed, and satisfied, and contented lifestyle? Then I want you to read Psalms 1 as often as you can. Commit it to memory. And then to meditate upon it. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, stand, or sit with those who perish, but he is contented and he is delightful with the Scriptures. And he meditates and he reads, he studies, he gives attention to the Scriptures. And in doing so, the Bible says he becomes like a tree standing tall in the desert with no apparent source of water to the human eye. But there runs a river under, my dear friend, where that taproot is able to sink deep and draw up the nutrients as well as the moisture. And that tree, what's that verse? Even in the desert, he is able to satisfy our mouth and be like a tree in a dry, dusty, God-hating, God-rejecting world, you can stand as a truly happy, successful, contented, lawful man, woman of God. Are you game? Read Psalm 1, meditate it, and memorize it. Let's pray. Blessed Father, we come before Thee to thank You again, to praise You for Your Word. And Father, it is one thing to speak it and to preach it, but it's a whole different ballgame to live it. So Father, I pray this morning that You would give us all in this room a desire to be the reflection of that Psalms 1 believer and the Matthew 5, 3-12 believer. May all who have put their faith and trust in You be like this. And by doing so, they may convince a lost and dying world that God is real and the Scriptures are real and the Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Father, for those who listen, who are not yet saved, Lord, I pray for Your mercy and grace to be upon them. Open their eyes, open their hearts, break those chains of bondage. Release them, Father. Grant them the understanding to see themselves as You see them, and may they see the beauty and the wonder and the satisfaction that is in Christ. And that, Lord, You would cause them to bow their hearts and their knees to Him in sweet salvation. In Christ's name, amen.